Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Goldberg knows right now what he's in there with, what he's heard about his whole life, how tough this man Hogan can be, what this man's capable of doing, and he knows right now, firsthand, what Hogan's all about.
Comes a time in every great athlete's career where you got to dig down deep, where you got to suck it up, where you got to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that you belong here. For Goldberg, the time is right now, because the champ is leveling with everything.
Hogan with those patented leg drops has delivered two, and here comes Kurt Hennig to ringside.
And we've got company.
There's Malone and DDP following Hennig.
He kicked out from the Hogan leg drop. That has Hollywood stunned.
Diamond Cutter! Yes! Yes, Malone can use the Diamond Cutter. And look at Goldberg. He's ready. Finish him off.
He's calling for it.
This is it. Your career's on the line here. Do it. This place will erupt when he picks him up.
He's got him up.
Hey, I'm Matt Jackson.
I am Nick Jackson.
You are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
Rantum Radio, Nick.
Rantum.
Rant EM.
You'll have to keep that one.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Woo! Yeah!
Just another
Anyway, hello everybody. Welcome to a second try of this week's Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, as always, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Rea. I'm so mad because, you know, I put a lot of time and effort into some of these episodes. Sometimes I don't need to put a lot of effort because the stuff is already there for me. But this week particularly, I put in a lot of fucking work. And last night, Choppy came over. We had an amazing show last night. It was awesome. And what had happened was the feed was skipping, the live feed, and my backup recorder program did not record for some reason, right? So I said, all right, no problem. So as we were going along, we messaged AA in a rant, and AA actually went into the feed and reset it, okay? So we stopped and kept going. And I've figured, you know what, I'll just splice the two files. No big deal. I've done that before. No big deal, right? So, turns out that the entire fucking file was corrupt. It kept skipping. The audio kept skipping. And the people who were listening, the people, first of all, shout out to everybody who was listening on the live feed and on TuneIn because they got the brunt of it. They listened to us even though it kept skipping and whatever. And then as soon as Choppy went home last night, I grabbed the files and I went into my other room like I normally do, and I lay down on my bed and I start, you know, doing my thing. I start uploading the show and putting a picture and a synopsis up on a website and then posting it to all the social medias. Well, couldn't do that. I messaged Choppy. I apologize to everybody on Facebook. And, you know, obviously Choppy is a very busy man. He's a new dad, and he's got a lot of shit going on the weekends, and I don't want to take any more time from him if I don't have to. So I'm not going to make him come back, and I'm home on a Saturday morning. I'm not doing anything. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to redo it. I made that decision late last night. I said, I'm just going to get some sleep. I was so mad. I was like, no, don't worry about it. You know, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. No, it's not the end of the world, and no, it wasn't my fault. But however, I feel like I owe the audience, you know, our fan base, an episode, because we didn't have one last week, and we have the anniversary show coming up next week. So this is, you know, it's a big deal. It's a special time for Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Every year we go all out. We try to give you guys the best content possible. We put a lot of labor and a lot of love into what we do every single week. We do a lot of research. We watch a ton of wrestling that we haven't watched in a long time. Sometimes we watch it more than once. And we want to give you guys the very best because it's what we love to do. It's my only consistent hobby the last 6 years. You know, the older you get, you know, life happens. You have to be an adult. And you guys all know how much I hate adulting. Going to work and paying the bills. And, you know, sometimes sucks being a parent. This is the only thing I love to do every week without fail. And if I don't do it, I feel like I'm voided somehow, you know? So here we are, take two. It's Saturday. It's July the 7th, I believe, 2018. And I am sitting in the room in my half-completed fucking man cave, which is taking way, I'm way behind schedule with that, too. That's another story. I don't want to get into that. But nothing, it has nothing to do with finances, either. Just fucking storage and nonsense. And what are we keeping? What are we putting in storage? Like, I don't know. Anyway, enough of that, guys. I don't want to bore you with my bullshit. I hope everybody's having a great weekend. The weather is warm here in New York City. It's been really, really hot. We're getting over a heat wave. We're getting some more heat, apparently, during the week, next week. And I am recovering from a shit show of a work week with a holiday in between, which was fun. We spent some time with some friends, like I mentioned last night. So here's my goal today. My goal today is to what I'll do first is I'll run down the New Japan G1 Climax show tonight in California. I'll do that, and I will, let's see, I'm not gonna, let me give me 1 second. So I will definitely, I'll run down the card. And then I'm just going to take a quick break and then do the throwbacks. So you're going to get a condensed version of last night's show, obviously without Choppy's feedback, and I apologize for that. But I can tell you now we had a really good, and Choppy even texted me, we had such a great show tonight and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we did. Like, there were nights where it feels like it's run of the mill. Okay, we did a show. Great. Have a great night. See you next week, whatever. But then there were nights where we look at each other and go, man, that was a great show. We did a good show. Last night was one of those shows. Next week will be no different because next week is our 6-year anniversary show. The actual Turnbuckle Throwbacks anniversary is July 3rd, 2012. You guys can go back and listen to that nonsense when Phil had a $3 microphone and another computer. But because of scheduling and because of work and because of stuff that's going on here in the in Casa del Rey and Plaza Margasa, we decided to do the show a little bit later in the month. No big deal. We're still celebrating. But this year we're doing Great American Bash 1990. But today, we're doing Great American Bash 1988. The 30th anniversary was actually this week 30 years ago, which I can't believe. Like, I still can't believe that this is 30 years ago. And I was 14 years old and, like, there was so much going on in my young life that I can give a little more perspective on it while I'm doing a throwback. A lot of stuff was going on in my life, like a ton, and it was overwhelming. I mean, the only thing that was cool was pro wrestling. So, and the Mets. The Mets were good that year, actually. You know, they lost in the playoffs. But I digress. We have a great show lined up for you. What else is going on? I'm excited. I just found out I'm not going to be home tonight. Of course, this is how I found out everything in my life, last minute. You know, once in a while, I got to take one for the team, go out with the wife, and stuff she wants to do. You know, can't always be about me, you know. However, I will be taping G1. G1 is very, very fun, a very, very fun event. A homegirl, Kristen, a Queens native, lives out in San Francisco. She's going to the show tonight. I'll run down the card real quick. It's going to be at the Cow Palace in San Fran. 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 o'clock for you West Coast kids. The card is stacked. Let me break it down for you. You can watch it on Access TV, or you can watch it on New Japan World if you live outside the U.S. And I'll post this today so you guys, if you guys download the show, you can get all the information. So, not that I'm giving you anything, it's past tense. It's actually tonight. All right, so Show and Yo, Roppongi 2K, 3K, 2K, whatever the hell they call themselves, Rocky Romero, Gato, Hashi against Bullet Club OGs, Chase Owen, Takahashi, Tangaloa, Tama Tonga, and King Haku. How about that? Haku making an appearance for the Bullet Club and for New Japan. Very excited. I want to see that. Toriano and Tomohiro Ishii versus Zack Sabre Jr. and the leader of Suzuki Goon, Mr. Minoru Suzuki. Kushida and Tanahashi, the ace, against Marty Scurll and Hangman Page. It should be awesome. This is going to be a slobber knocker, two slabs of beef match as the NEVER Open Weight Championship is defended by Hirooki Goto against one Mr. Jeff Cobb. If you're not familiar with Jeff Cobb's work, you really should look him up. The kid is great. I think he should be in WWE any day now. I think they should sign him immediately. The kid is that good. I don't know his story, why he hasn't signed over there yet, but he's one of those guys that you feel like belongs in WWE, NXT type of shit. So, here's a great match. Chaos, team Chaos, Okada, the Rainmaker, teaming up with Ospreay, Will Ospreay, versus Los Ingobernables de Japón. Finally got that down to a science. That'll be Tetsuya Naito and Bushi. The IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship is being defended as Hamaro Takahashi and his stuffed cat defend against Dragon Lee. The IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championships will be defended as the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson, new friends of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, as you hear every week now, versus Evil and Sonata. This is the match that Choppy's been looking forward to, as he wore the shirt last night of the IWGP U.S. Heavyweight Champion, Mr. Jay White, a.k.a. Switchblade, defending against my new favorite guy in New Japan, Juice Robinson. And Choppy and I don't see eye to eye with Juice. I feel like Juice is going to be the guy, man. And come in the next couple of years, you know. I was right about Naito, and I'm feeling that same way about Juice Robinson, so we'll see what happens. And obviously, the talk of the town, the match that needs to happen before the All In event in September. Kenny Omega, newly crowned IWGP Heavyweight Champion for about a month now, will defend his championship against one Mr. Cody for the title, for the leadership of Bullet Club, and for bragging rights, basically, in being the elite. So, we talked about this last night briefly. You know, this match is gonna set up a chain reaction of events leading up into and the All-In event Labor Day weekend in Chicago, which your boys will be at. So look for us in the Takeover Club out there. It's gonna be a happening. It's gonna be fun. And I feel like Cody's got some stuff to prove, and not per se his abilities, because like he's done really good for himself since his departure from WWE. And you know, there's this mystique around him and the attitude that he took on, and then his affiliation with Bullet Club, and then the struggle of for leadership of the Bullet Club. There's a big transition now where, you know, there's an alignment with the Bucks and Kenny Omega, and now it's the Bucks, Kenny Omega, and Kota Ibushi, but there's still a Bullet Club thing there, and then the OG Bullet Club guys, like, oh, you guys are fighting like bitches, and, you know, we're Bullet Club. So I feel like this is like 1999... 2000 NWO, maybe even 98, where they started splitting up, making their own factions, you know, Wolfpack and Silver and Black and LWO and all this other shit. So I feel like that's where it's going. There's not enough members to make a bunch of factions, but there's a lot of guys in there. Like, there's wild cards, man. You got Marty Scurll, who is a budding star, you know? He's been a budding star, and he's making that step up to heavyweight, getting title matches in Ring of Honor, and now he's probably going to start getting title matches in New Japan. But his buddy is the champion, you know? Maybe he gets U.S. champion title shots, you know? We don't know. Then there's the rising star, Hangman Page, who, to me, is the biggest wild card, because he's the sky's the limit. I think Paige can even overshadow Marty Scurll to an extent. He's super talented. He's got a heel gimmick that can stay with him forever. He's a throwback to like the old outlaw Dusty Rhodes, Dick Murdoch type shit. You know, Blackjack Mulligan, and he's got that southern shit, boot shit kicking type of attitude, and he's. And he can go, man. He can wrestle the strong style. He can hit the air. He does some high spots. He's a talent. Taking nothing away from, you know, Marty Scurll. Marty Scurll is amazing, but I think Page has a bit of an edge to him. You know, where Scurll is, the gimmick is cool, but it's, I feel like Page can live his gimmick. You know, he's got that attitude, you know. And all these guys are super cool outside of the character too, man. Like, you could tell that they're young, they're hungry, and they're super humble about their position. And I couldn't be happier for these guys. I'm secretly rooting for each and every one of these guys to do big things, whether it's in Bullet Club, not in Bullet Club, if they go to WWE. All these guys in the Bullet Club currently, I think, have, Bullet Club has had talent. You know, you're looking at Prince Devitt, Anderson and Gallows, You know, there's been a bunch of guys in Bullet Club that have, you know, that have had talent beyond their wildest dreams that they didn't think they would get too far, and they did. I think sky's the limit for this edition of the Bullet Club as well. And with all the noise that the Elite is making regarding this whole all-in thing, you know, you're reading that the E might just throw the whole vault at them. You know what? There might be some validity to that. And if there is, the Bucks at a press conference yesterday did say that contract time is almost up for New Japan because they don't get long-term deals in New Japan. Only a couple of guys get like long-term deals in New Japan. I think like Tanahashi, Okada, and I think those guys, the upper echelon of New Japan, those guys get multi-year contracts. They normally do year-to-year thing. That's what I read. I don't know how true it is. I can't confirm that. If you guys know better, then please jump on social media and correct me. But that's what I heard so far. And, you know, I'm with it. I'm totally with it. You know, and then Choppy mentioned last night, what are they going to do with them? Like, what can you possibly do with these guys after you sign them? Are you going to throw them all in NXT? Are they going to fall to the wayside? I mean, it's too much talent to waste. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if it's a, you know, I mean, I know these writers and stuff like that in WWE. I know they look at other stuff. I know they watch other products. I know they follow the talent. And Triple H has his hand in all of that with NXT. Because obviously he's looking at it because he's cherry picking all the great people from the indies and Japan. So, like, you know, he has to know that these guys are the shit. You know what I'm saying? He has to know that these guys are no joke. It's just a matter of, you know, what would you do with them if you signed them? I mean, yeah, the Bucks were like, yeah, if the contract is up, it's a family thing. It's a, you know, we have to worry about our family. And, you know, when you're printing your own money and you're making your own schedule, it's kind of hard to walk away from that. And I know that for a fact right now. I'm in a job which I really not too happy with, like in interior. But on the exterior, I have great benefits. I have a decent salary. And like I know if I walk away from that, I'm walking away from a ton of seniority, a ton of vacation. So I feel like if I walk away from that, I'm doing myself an injustice. And, you know, and I think the Bucks are thinking the same thing. Like, if I walk away from all this security and all this money, at that point, you're doing it just to say you did it. Because it's not about the money. You're making the money, especially with the Bucks and Omega. Like, you're making the money now. So, like, why would you even think about it? Well, Kenny Omega would have something to prove because he was already in developmental and it didn't work out too well for him. The Bucks were already in Impact. And I'm sure they would have something to prove, but it's not the same thing. We all know what WWE is. We've all accepted it. Well, most of us have anyway. And it's just a thing where, you know, if you're a fan of these guys, you would just have to respect their position and their decision because, you know, they're not doing it for money at this point because they have money. They're doing it to prove their talent. They can do it in somewhere else under the corporate banner of WWE. And that's fine, man. I know fans would completely lose their mind. I could see the fucking the social media now calling them sellouts and this, that, and the third. And, you know, I'll laugh because if anybody else had that position, if you were making money hand over foot, basically, and I say this all the time, I just said it again, like twice, the Bucks are printing money legitimately. They're selling out T-shirts, Hot Topic, jackets, sneakers, action figures, all on their own. They're not doing it with help from WWE or some big corporation from New Japan. They're not getting any help from any of these guys. They did it DIY. There's something cool about that in my world. Because everything I do is DIY. Everything I do is punk rock. You know what I'm saying? Like, I approach everything in life, almost everything in life, that way. You know? So, you have to respect that. Even if you don't like their style of work. Like, we know guys who don't, that think the Bucks are just spot monkeys. And that's fine. Or Kenny Omega's overrated. That's fine. You guys can think all you want, you know. I base my opinions on work rate and different things, so I kind of have a different perspective than most people, and that's fine. I like it that way. It's what keeps my interest and the show fresh. But think about it though, man. Like, you know, if you had a great gig, but you had something to prove somewhere else, knowing you can do it, would you do it? Would you do it? You're walking, and remember now, you're walking away from, you know, your own schedule. You're walking away from your own merch deals. You're walking away from your own, you know, everything. Like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I would do it. I mean, I might. If it wasn't about money, if it was a financial thing, then, you know, see, that's the thing, too. These guys all have families now, and, you know, that's another thing you have to consider. It's like these guys are actually human beings outside of the work. Like, fans don't get it, man. Fans don't get real life at all, which baffles me because there's so much information at their fingertips about all these performers on the internet, you know? Like, why would you not know their family? They're like, oh, I know their real name. That's fine, but they're real names with real families and real children and real lives. And they're on the road 700 hours a year, several thousand hours a year, I should say. And days upon end, like, I watch their YouTube videos all the time, the Bucks. Like, oh, we're home for 2 days, then we're back in Japan for 2 weeks, you know. And then we're flying here for ROH, we're flying here for ROH, we're flying. Like, they're constantly... They got so many frequent flyer miles, they could sit up front with the leg room, you know? And God bless them. They have beautiful families. Beautiful families. You see them on the videos. You know? They have to think about that. Because they're not going to... They can't... First of all, this is the kind of job that you can't have until you're 65 and retire. You know, athletes... You know, that's why athletes get paid a gazillion dollars in pro sports. Because these owners want to put asses in their seats for their stadiums, and they have this, you know, they're showcasing talent. And you know these guys have a shelf life of, you know, mid-30s. I mean, I wish I could have retired 10 years ago. But I have another 22 years to go or something like that. So I have to, you know, you know, by midlife, these guys are already retired. You know, and it's not like they're guaranteed jobs. Oh, yeah, these guys will probably open wrestling schools, and they'll probably do appearances and conventions, and maybe they'll still work as talent or talent relations. Maybe they'll be managers or valets or whatever case it may be, whatever, male, female. But nothing's guaranteed in the wrestling business. Nothing. And you have to make the best of what you have, and you have to make sure you make enough money to support your family, or just do something totally different. I can tell you, when they do like the Where Are They Now on WWE.com, and they see like, oh, so-and-so has been a tow truck driver for the last 20 years, since he last wrestled in 1992, or Magnificent Morocco does like dock work or freight work in Hawaii. That's the Magnificent Morocco, man. That was the former IC champion. Like, what the fuck? But he needed to make a living. He retired in like the late 80s, early 90s. He's been retired almost 30 years. Think about that. It doesn't last forever, man. They didn't have WWE Network back then. You didn't get a gig on some of these shows that they have now. So these guys have to play it smart. They have to plan for their future. And you can't knock that hustle. You really can't. So, ooh, excuse me. Sorry about that. I just dropped my phone on top of everything. That was noisy. And I got this case that's like 4,000 pounds. So you guys all know I switched phones a few months ago, and I have the worst luck with it because I feel like every time I dropped the phone several times, and I seldom drop my phone. So when I dropped the phone, the protective screen that I get cracks, and I was on my third one. I was like, you know what? Something's going to happen with his phone, even though it's insured. I'm going to drop it. The fucking glass is going to, real glass is going to crack, and that glass is expensive. The glass is like that new OLED fucking technology that they're putting on televisions now. So I was like, you know what, man? I went on Amazon. I got one of these fucking, these steel, like these steel cases that you actually have to screw the phone in, and it's stupid heavy, but I don't care. At least if I drop it, I won't break it, you know? And it's dirt proof, waterproof. It's everything proof at this point. You know, I could drop it like 1.8 meters without even making a dent in the actual case itself. So, I'm kind of happy about that. All right. So, I got the Bullet Club stuff out of the way. Bucks out of the way. We talked about Taylor Hendricks last night, saying that she didn't get a push because she wouldn't sleep with Jay Lethal. I don't know about that either. I'm so numb to the whole allegations thing with all these people coming out. And I'm not saying people, and I'm not saying these girls are wrong, you know, but like there's got to be a reason why you didn't come out initially. A lot of these people that came out like years and years and years later weren't really super popular in their field. So people are using the excuse, well, I didn't come out because I didn't want to jeopardize my career. What career did you have? Like, the Harvey Weinstein thing is different. That was all high-profile shit. But, like, now, and the Bill Cosby thing, like, that's mind-blowing. Like, he actually got convicted, apparently. You know? And then the whole, now Morgan Freeman and all these other people. Like, it's just, it's terrible that these, if it's the truth, it's absolutely atrocious, you know? But with wrestling, I don't know, man. You know, especially if you take the Twitter, like, I don't know. If I was her and I wanted to do something like this, I would make my attorneys make the statement. You know, I wouldn't say a word. I would have my attorneys go to social media, go to the press, whatever they have to do. You know, but it's a shit show. It's an absolute shit show. So, all right, well, we'll run down, I guess, Extreme Rules. Choppy didn't care. I guess we'll do it maybe on the anniversary show and give our predictions. No other really wrestling news going on, per se. I'm just excited. I'll have to catch up with NXT. I'll watch that today. And I will definitely, well, I'll do show prep for next week's show. All right? All right, so listen, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to take a quick break, like I normally do. We're going to plug all our friends. And I have a couple of clips I want to play. And we're going to do a condensed throwback to the 1988 Great American Bash, The Price for Freedom, which was a fantastic time in my life. Yes and no. So, you know, I'm sorry that you won't get Choppy's perspective on it per se, but anybody who listened last night got it, so at least we have that. And he enjoyed it, so I'm glad he enjoyed it watching it. And I'm glad. See, that's the thing too, man. If I suggest something to Choppy, you know, I want him to enjoy it. He doesn't have to enjoy it, but I'm picking out stuff that he likes, which is cool, and vice versa. So when he says he, like, if he goes out of his way to tell me he really enjoyed it, then I'm glad that I'm doing something, a service to not only you guys, but to him for making him watch this shit over and over. But then there were times where it's like, oh, that was painful. So at least I get an honest answer out of him all the time. So that's why I love him so much. Okay. Let's take a quick break, plug our friends, and we have a really cool condensed throwback. Again, I apologize for everything this weekend. It's been a shit show with this computer. I hope to have an upgrade by the fall. I got to work on my financial benefactor, which is the wife, and work on getting a new upgrade to the system. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and we'll be right back.
Paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh, my God. I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, RantEMRadio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at inconclusivepod or facebook.com/inconclusivebreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old-school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
What is the price for freedom? The Great American Bash 1988, the price for freedom, is a battleground where champions defend their titles at all costs, and the bloodthirsty contenders grapple for glory. Two living legends fight for their careers as Ric Flair takes on Lex Luger and Dusty Rhodes goes against U.S. heavyweight champion Barry Windham. Also featuring the first ever Triple Cage Tower of Doom match where 10 men struggle in a one-of-a-kind clash for honor. Plus, a 10 lashes to the loser tag team title match pitting the Fantastics against the Midnight Express with Jim Cornette in a straitjacket above the ring. And power meets power as Nikita Koloff and Sting tag up against the champions Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson. In a country where freedom is everything, the Great American Bash 1988, the price for freedom, is an event you can't afford to miss.
I love that music. So cheesy. It is 1988, though. That's why I opened up with Ozzy, too, from that, actually, a month from the pay-per-view. No Rest for the Wicked came out, and that's one of the songs breaking all the rules. So, anyway, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Rant EM Radio, Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, iTunes, YouTube. It's all there for you kids. It's all there. I'll plug all the other social medias at the end of the night. End of the podcast, I should say. So, like I was telling Choppy last night, this one's near and dear to me. And, man, I love this pay-per-view. So much fun. So, I was 14. I was still 2 years removed from my actual block where I grew up getting cable. So, I've already told that story a gazillion times. I don't have to rehash it. But I had a friend. I had a junior high school sweetheart. We're still friends to this day. She's awesome. She's got two kids. Wonderful girl. Still a big wrestling fan. Her mom had passed away, but still a big wrestling fan. And her family's into it. And I used to go to their house all the time to watch the weekly shows and the pay-per-views. And they got this on pay-per-view. And the events leading up to this was phenomenal, you know. And I could tell you wholeheartedly that I was in a really bad place at home. And just a little bit of a backstory. My mom had just gotten out of a really bad relationship with my sister's dad. And she started dating this dude. Didn't know much about him. Wasn't a big fan of him. We became really good, tight. By the time we got really tight, though, they had broken up like 10 years later, which sucked, but it is what it is. And, you know, there was a lot of tension there in the house, you know, a lot of back and forth, and, you know, and at the time, you don't really know how an adult is dealing or feeling, and my mom was going through a ton of shit, you know, and I never even wanted to be home. I had just started high school, and that was rough on me. I was getting good grades, though. That was pretty cool. I was in the truancy program because I had a terrible attitude in junior high school. My attitude in junior high school was so bad that they didn't even let me go to my graduation. They just threw me into high school. They just sent me a postcard saying, you know, this is your school now, you know? So I went into high school with a chip on my shoulder, like, you know what, I have something to prove. You know, I'm not a bad kid. I'm actually pretty smart for my own good, and I'm going to excel. And they put me in these classes it was sort of like special education, but it wasn't. Like, I wasn't getting special classes. I was getting, like, more attention because the classes were more smaller and condensed. And I decided I'm going to make the best of it, and I did. And I got made the honor roll and also the nonsense. But pro wrestling was a huge staple in my life. Huge staple. And I was beside myself. And I was waiting for this to happen. Now, leading up to the pay-per-view, there was a bunch of stuff going on. I'm obviously talking about the Great American Bash 1988 from Baltimore, Maryland. The mecca of the bash. July 10th, 1988, Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone were your host. Magnum TA was the backstage interview guy. Depending on where you watch this, some of these matches, there's one or two matches that weren't on the actual pay-per-view. They were on the videotape. If you watch the network, I think it's condensed as well. So, there was a lot of things leading up to this, okay? Barry Windham had just became a horseman. He turned on Dusty Rhodes, turned on Luger first, and then he got Dusty suspended. Dusty hit one of the Crockett's with a bat. They suspended Dusty, so Dusty couldn't be in the U.S. title tournament because Dusty was the champion. So basically, Dusty never lost the U.S. title, but they stripped it from him because he was suspended for hitting David Crockett with a bat. It's on accident. I don't think he hit him on purpose, but depends on who you talk to. I'll defend Dusty till I die, so it doesn't matter. And so he comes back as the Midnight Rider, but the tournament goes on. Barry Windham wins the tournament. He's the new U.S. champion. The Horsemen have the gold. They have the World Tag Team Championship. They have the United States Heavyweight Championship. And they have, the obviously, the World Heavyweight Championship. So that's going on. Lex Luger is now the top face in the company. They're putting all the chips on Luger. At this point, Luger's getting the best of Flair in tag matches. There was a Great American Bash a couple months before this where Sting went the distance with Flair. The first bash was, which was March, I think, of 88, which we've done on the show, actually. So he gets a back seat. So he's getting a tag title shot with Nikita Koloff for the opening match. And it was a good match. I mean, it was all right, you know. It's on the Horseman DVD, if you have the Horseman DVD. I'll get right to it. So, where is it? Sting, what do you call it? Let me get into my notes here. Hold on one second. Sting blocks a sunset flip from Tully, gives him a Stinger splash, hits the Scorpion Deathlock. Nikita Koloff tackles Arn Anderson as the bell rings, and it's a draw. So, 20 minutes, 6 seconds, actually. They went over the 20-minute mark. Another good match that was the second match was the U.S. Tag Team Championship, the Fantastics against the Midnight Express. But here's a little thing. They had a match on TV at the Clash of the Champions, which was way better than this. Choppy doesn't agree with me, but that's okay. That's, you know, you agree to disagree. Cornette was straitjacketed and locked in a cage and gets 10 lashes with a belt if the Fantastics win. The best part of this whole match was him trying to bribe his way out of it. Pretty funny. So, the match was condensed for the tape. Fulton dominating the match, Bobby Fulton, until Stan Lane power slams him on the concrete. Tommy Rogers accidentally takes out the referee. Another ref bump, it is the 80s. Allowing Stan Lane to pass Bobby Fulton. Bobby Eaton the chain. Eaton plasters Fulton with it. And hits the NEMX get the win. They get the titles back at 2 minutes and 16 seconds. The Fantastics, however, though, they track Cornette down and still give him the whipping anyway. Which is pretty cool. So the next match was the Tower of Doom. And I played the clip last night. I lost the clip. I can't find it, and I'm pretty pissed off about it. But Kevin Sullivan explains the whole thing, and he pretty much has this mind control thing on Precious. And he gets in the mind of her and Jimmy Garvin. This goes on, and the Tower of Doom is born. The Tower of Doom is basically like a mousetrap thing. You have to go to, there's 3 sections of the cage. You have to make your way down to the bottom of the cage, get the key, and get out. Jimmy Garvin recruits brother Ronnie Garvin, who's actually his father-in-law in real life, Dr. Death Steve Williams, and the Road Warriors. Kevin Sullivan's got Gary Hart's Al Perez, and Paul Jones is Russian assassin Ivan Koloff, and he gets Mike Rotunda. You guys might remember the Tower of Doom making an appearance in late 2000 on a Nitro, where Vince Russo infamously won the WCW heavyweight title. Trying to explain this, though, was like trying to explain the plot of Memento, really. It's just, without sounding like an idiot, I'll do this, all right? So there's 3 cages. Each cage gets smaller as they go up. Everyone starts at the top of the cage and fights their way down to the bottom, with the winner being the first team to exit the cage, which is padlocked with Garvin's wife, Precious, holding the key at the bottom. Why Precious? Well, Kevin Sullivan was an evil motherfucking crazy guy who hypnotized her into becoming one of his sex slaves, in theory. Now, I didn't know this at the time. I was 14 years old. I knew nothing about sex slaves. I was just learning about sex and actually getting the second and third base at that point. But knowing that as an adult was even cooler, creepier and cooler at the same time. So, you know, another thing Choppy brought up last night was that Ronnie Garvin just ran off after he left the cage or whatever. And he wondered why now, but you'll know why in a couple of minutes because one of the biggest swerves in pro wrestling happened. And I'll get into that in a second. I'm not going to get into the whole thing because, it's too long. It's still over 20 minutes, but I'll tell you how it happens. So Jimmy Garvin drops Sullivan with the brainbuster and asks for the key. Precious hesitates, then unlocks it for him. All right, Sullivan makes one final dive, accidentally knocking Jimmy Garvin to the floor for the win. So he's the last guy out. He wins. But this is not how it ends. Kevin Sullivan locks himself in a cage with Precious and attacks her. And, of course, you hear Jim Ross yell, "Sullivan's deranged! Sullivan's deranged!" Sullivan tries to strangle her with his wrist tape, screaming that if he can't have her, no one can. Finally, Road Warrior Hawk is able to climb all the way back in and drop down to the cage and hit Sullivan with a lariat for the huge pop. Not exactly a lot of wrestling going on, but certainly wasn't boring, I can tell you that. The best way to look at this as a piece of the Garvin-Sullivan-Precious puzzle was that it certainly was trashingly entertaining. Trashingly entertaining, that's all I could say. One match that you might have not seen, which was recorded on an earlier card, not on the same card because Sting already fought. It was from an earlier show. It was the WCW NWA TV title, Rick Rotunda defending against Sting. Rotunda tosses Sting onto the floor. Sullivan takes a couple of cheap shots. Lots of Rotunda chin locks. It was like a half hour headlock match. Until Sting catches him going up and slams him on the floor, onto the mat. Rotunda tries to escape onto the next ring because it was set up for the War Games. It was set up for the scaffold that they had, the scaffold matches. Sting flies over the top rope to get at him, but brings Steiner and Sullivan in. And then that brings Sullivan and Steiner in for the DQ at 8:18. So, good, not great. Okay. And here we go. The NWA United States Championship. Barry Windham with James J. Dillon defending against the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Like I said, I'm sorry, Dusty didn't hit David Crockett. He hit Jim Crockett with a bat and was stripped of the title. So, I told you the whole thing about the whole Jim Crockett suspension midnight ride thing a couple of minutes ago. So, I'll get into it. The claw. Barry Windham used the claw a ton in this match. That was like his new move. He perfected the superplex, but now he's doing the claw. Because he had that black glove, too. So, at one point, Dusty climbs the ropes again and shoves Windham into referee Tom Young. Another Dusty Rhodes finish ref bump. Dusty drops the bionic elbow, but there's no ref. Dillon starts to sneak in, but Dusty chases him out. But here comes Dusty's friend, Ronnie Garvin, who runs down to the aisle and then fucking punches Dusty Rhodes out, knocks him out, turns on him. Windham applies the hold as Tom Young recovers, counts 3, 15-56. Windham was a bump machine. There was some good psychology revolving the claw, like I said. Obviously, Dusty's limitations physically dragged the match down a little bit, but again, this is Dusty Rhodes. And this would be his final last big singles match in the NWA before heading to Titanland, so the Garvin turn was a complete shocker. I have footage of the interview after. I mean, in the back, you see Gary Hart and Ronnie Garvin getting $50,000 in a suitcase from Dillon. But this was the, I'll tell you what, I'm going to play the Gary Hart interview, the promo, which happened right after this match. The week after, whatever it was. This is one of the greatest promos ever in wrestling. And it's Gary Hart, so I'll play this for you right now.
All right, Jim, we're right here with Al Perez, Ronnie Garvin, Gary Hart. Gary, a couple of questions I got for you. Do you think that Dusty Rhodes is going to take it lying down and he's not going to
retire? I know that.
And what about Dick Murdoch now?
Let me tell you, I know one thing about you, Dusty Rhodes. You're like your mama and your daddy who died drunk in a ditch when he was 42. You were born no good. Dickus Murdoch ain't no better. It's birds of a feather. You can stand up in that podium and talk about how bad you are and how bad you want Ronnie Garvin and how you and the Outlaws are back together and how now that nobody's safe. Well, I happen to be standing here right now, Dusty, and I feel as safe as a baby in its mama's arms. I know you. I know Murdoch, but most of all, I know Texas. And I know that there ain't nothing good that's ever come from that filthy, white trash, honky state of Texas. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you afraid of Dusty Rhodes and Dickie Murdoch?
Let me tell you something. I've been accused of sucker punching from behind. Well, Dusty Rhodes, the last thing you seen was this, so obviously you were looking at it. And you're going to see it some more if you don't quit. And I'm going to tell you furthermore, I'd be an idiot not to take $50,000 to knock out a man. Right. I've wrestled as matches that's 1 hour. I've bled, I've sweated, and I didn't make $50,000. Another thing, Dusty Rhodes, you've been hiding behind a lot of men in the last few years, like Magnum TA, yeah. Nikita Koloff. Yeah. Now you're hiding behind the Road Warriors. I don't know. These guys are like mesmerized by Dusty Rhodes. Well, I know you, Dusty Rhodes. You never bought my beer. I don't owe you nothing. And if you stand in my way, I'll knock you out for nothing this time.
Let me say this. He talks about sucker punching. Anytime you punch him, you punch a sucker. Because Rhodes, you are a sucker. Murdoch, you are a sucker. The wrestling world is looking at a former NWA champion. They're looking at a future NWA champion, as I told you. There's a new light on the horizon.
Right, there's a new
and
light.
They're right here with
that's
Kevin
right.
Hart.
It's a bright light. It's brighter than you can handle it. It's going to shine for a long time, Dusty Rhodes.
Thank fans, you. Don't go away. We'll be back. We'll have more right after we take this time out.
Can you dispute it?
Ronnie Garvin with that French-Canadian accent. Couldn't get rid of it. So, like I said, in the back, Garvin gets the briefcase full of money and Gary Hart. Now he's part of Gary Hart. And that didn't last very long either. But Gary Hart, man, I can't say this enough. And I know Pastor Sadell said it last night in the chat room too. I think Shaylin said it too. There is a mystique about him where he didn't get a lot of props because he didn't really go very far. I mean, he was in Texas and he went in Georgia, and obviously he went to, I think he was in Mid-South too, but like, I think if he was in WWE for a cup of coffee, he would get the props he so deserved. I mean, Gary Hart was a master of talking, man. Crazy, crazy, crazy talking. Love Gary Hart. One of my favorite promos of all time, and I found it on accident. I remember watching this on TV. Like, I can't believe he said that stuff about Dusty Rhodes' father. You know, but like, again, anything went at that point. None of this shit was scripted. It was all ad-libbed. And they used real-life scenario. Like, Dusty Rhodes' dad did die in a ditch. I don't know if he was a drunk, but... And Dick Murdoch had came back at this point to form the Outlaws to help Dusty Rhodes in his crusade against Ronnie Garvin. So, and it's weird, too, because I thought Al Perez was going to win that U.S. tournament. He never did. And Al Perez should have been bigger than he was, and he never was either. But what a talent he was. Crazy talented. Crazy talented. So, like I said, this is a condensed version of the throwback because I don't feel like talking for 2 hours, and I feel like you guys deserve something because we fucked up last night. It wasn't our fault, but we did. And everything's working now. Of course everything's working now because it's the next day. That's my luck with this podcast. So one of the greatest heavyweight matches of all time in NWA history because of the magnitude. Like I said, they put the rocket backpack on Lex Luger. When they realized that Magnum TA was no longer going to wrestle and he couldn't be they wanted their own Hulk Hogan. This is what it comes down to. They wanted their own Hulk Hogan. They thought Luger was the guy. Obviously, he wasn't. But everybody around me, everybody in the wrestling magazines, everybody you spoke to who knew wrestling thought that this was the night that the total package was going to win the heavyweight championship. What a shit show of a finish. I will bring you to... I actually have two Ric Flair promos I want to play for you. And I will do that right now. Let me get this, my notes. Here's my little folder. I have a little Great American Bash folder. So let's play that right now.
The World Heavyweight Championship is on the line in Baltimore on July 10th. Ric Flair, we've heard from Lex Luger. What do you have to say?
Well, David Crockett, let's talk about what's really on the line. We're talking about the greatest commodity in professional wrestling today. We're talking about the National Wrestling Alliance taking this whole country by storm 8 days from today. We started out in Orlando, Florida, and God knows how I love the women in the state of Florida. But brother, between the 26th of June, we're talking Charlotte, we're talking Dallas, we're talking Tampa, we're talking Miami, and then Luger, we're talking July 10th, Baltimore, Maryland, we're talking about the World's Heavyweight Championship. And let me take this opportunity to explain to this vast American public what's coming down. In Ric Flair, you are looking at the man that this sport, whether you like it or not, has revolved around for 6 years, simply because, whether you like it or not, I have been your world's heavyweight champion. Now, the great American public see this awesome structure of a man. 6'5", 280, the greatest physique of any athlete alive today. So, the imagination of the great American public says, this is finally going to be the guy to take Flair out. It's the end of Ric Flair. He can ride on his boat. He can drive his cars. He can count his money. But he's not a wrestler. Because we all know that Ric Flair will never be second best. Ric Flair lives and dies for wrestling. So they also know that Ric Flair will settle for nothing less than a 1-2-3. No dispute. Ric Flair, because his ego is so vast, has to beat Luger. He has to beat the man they're calling now the greatest challenge of all time. Well, July 10th in Baltimore, Luger, it's for all the money, all the prestige, all the glory. But the bottom line is to be the man in the greatest sport in the world, you gotta beat the man. And between now and July 10th, we're talking the Great American Bash. And you ask the Road Warriors, you ask Dusty Rhodes, my friend, those stitches you got in your eye now are nothing, because we will see to it you pay the price long before Baltimore. Woo!
It's it for Baltimore. Let's go to the ring.
Flair's promos were so good, I have one more for you. I'm playing this one too. I'm sorry. Deal with it. I love it.
To all the wrestlers over the years that have said they've got my number, I would have left this great sport years ago. But the bottom line is, and it's really difficult at times for the wrestling fans or the sports fans around the world to accept the very bottom in this sport. And that is this: if you are the best at what you do, then you win at any cost. And myself, Ric Flair, just like the Los Angeles Lakers, will repeat one more time. Think about it. Now, I'm not standing out here in a bicycle shirt. I'm not wearing a Great American Bash t-shirt. The sports world and the wrestling world know it's taking place. The Great American Bash, Baltimore, Maryland, July 10th, Lex Luger, the physical phenomenon, the man that the experts are saying is going to beat Ric Flair. The man that in Baltimore, Maryland, and let's put this in the right perspective, there are over 9 million people worldwide that will be watching this on their television screens. There will be 15,000 people in Baltimore, Maryland. And when I walk that out, when I break that curtain, woo, look at it, only I can look. Luger, now think about it, Lex Luger. We're talking about 3 weeks. You, my friend, have got to walk that out. You've got to fulfill the dreams of a lifetime. You've got to become one of the chosen few. You got to beat the reigning world heavyweight champion. There's only one. Jim Crockett Promotions, the National Wrestling Alliance, make me the bottom line best wrestler in the world today, because I am the world's heavyweight champion. Baltimore, think about it, Luger. 9 million people. The world will be watching to see if in 60 minutes, you can become the very best there is. Now, starting tomorrow night in Orlando, Florida, all my friends, the Road Warriors, think about it. You stand out here all painted up, talking about life or death. Anybody that follows wrestling, read the magazines. Ask your friends, Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, Barry Windham, and Jim Dillon are the nucleus that make our team go round and round. And each and every night, for every bash, we will put our credibility and our careers on the line. We've had stitches. We've had broken bones. We have paid the price individually and as a team. And I'm saying right now, Luger, starting in Orlando tomorrow, or Chicago, or Pittsburgh, you aren't going to make it to Baltimore, because you're going to have to pay God's price for walking around Baltimore. And if you make it to Baltimore, pal, look at what you have to beat. The very best there is.
Ric Flair, the World Heavyweight Champion, the Great American Bash.
So if that don't excite you, without playing a Lex Luger promo, which I did last night, but it was a dusty promo too, so I didn't have to. I don't mind a big fan of Lex's promos, but I'm telling you, like, everybody thought, even like anybody you spoke to, even casual wrestling fans at that time, thought that Lex Luger was going to become the heavyweight champion. So when this happened this night, whether how I felt about Luger or not, it just felt natural. Because of the progression of the character, it felt natural. Because at that point, when you're 14, you're 15, now you're starting to figure out, you become a smart wrestling fan. You become a smart wrestling fan, but not like the average, not like a 25-year-old now who was 15 10 years ago and they had fucking YouTube and the internet. I didn't have any of that stuff. I just got hip to it because I watched a ton of it. So, that's not really taking a shot at this generation, but I feel like I had a bit of an advantage because I didn't have all the tools, and I figured stuff out, and I was starting to figure stuff out. Like, I figured this was going to happen. He was going to be the heavyweight champion of the world, and then this happened.
The doctor's calling for the referee. Or the commissioner's calling for the referee. Talking to the commissioner. Lex Luger's won. I don't think that's the case. Here he goes.
And in 23 minutes, 45 seconds, and due to the severe lacerations in the forehead of Lex Luger, Supervising Inspector Ray Iannucci and the attending physician, Mr. James Cochran, have stopped the match. The winner and still World Heavyweight Champion, Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
But prior to that, it was the blood, the laceration, stopped by the ringside physician and the commissioner.
A lot of pandemonium here, a great deal of confusion. Referee Tommy Young was told to stop the match by the state athletic commissioner as appointed by the state of Maryland. The athletic commissioner and the doctor sitting here at ringside, I saw them conversing. They got up, and they wanted, and the crowd here, quite obviously, very, very distraught. But the commissioner stopped the matchup. Luger had it. I thought Luger had the championship definitely in his grasp. A lot of states, they will not stop a match under these circumstances, Tony.
That's right.
In a lot of areas. But in Maryland, the athletic commissioner is so stringent here that with the blood and Luger busted open, that they had to stop it. That's their state rules as far as our athletic commission is concerned.
So there is the Warrior, seconds away from being the world champion, and all of a sudden it is over right now for him, at least for now, because Ric Flair is still the world heavyweight champion. Now, you talk about the laceration. Well, there you see some of the fans here. Here is how it happened, and it was at the hands of Dillon, because when Luger went down, after that, he came back up. He was a different man.
You got to really feel for Lex Luger in this situation. He had the Nature Boy in the human torture rack. It looked to me like Ric Flair was submitting. That was in my opinion. But Luger came back against all odds. James J. Dillon involved. Ric Flair. I mean, Flair was at his very best tonight in this situation with Lex Luger. Take a look at it right there. I'll tell you something. These people here are not very pleased with these athletic commission's decision here, but that's something that we're going to have to live with. Lex Luger's had to live with it the rest of his life.
As soon as Lex Luger stood up, the commissioner was standing up, calling for referee Tommy Young, and then, of course, the decision was rendered. Everybody thought that Luger had won the match, but still, when we had looked, we had noticed that really the commissioner or Tommy Young had not checked with Flair that much to see Flair to submit.
Well, I want to tell you something. Another thing about here's all the people that have made this broadcast possible.
So there you have it. I do have Ric Flair's post-interview. That's not on the network. It's on the videotape. If you have the videotape of this, you're pretty lucky, because you get the Sting match too. The TV title Sting match from the prior card was right before this one. Because they start this whole thing in the beginning of July. So this was like the second stop in a tour, and they made this one the pay-per-view. So here is Ric Flair's post-match interview with Magnum TA in the back with J.J. Dillon, and they... Here's my mouse. Why isn't my mouse not cooperating here? Hold on a second. What's going on here? Oh boy! All right, here we go. I just want to smash every piece of equipment I own today. I'm so fucking aggravated with this shit. Okay, let's get the post interview and let's get out of here.
Fans, we got more for you right now. Though we must go to Magnum TA. I understand. Let's go there now.
Standing here with the man, Ric Flair, who just retained the world's heavyweight title. Despite all odds, despite what all the skeptics said, maybe Ric Flair was pushed to the ultimate limit, but he is still the world's heavyweight champion.
Well, I've come to live by one motto, and that is survival. This is the greatest, toughest sport in the world. This is the National Wrestling Alliance, the Big Daddy. There's nothing like it. And tonight, for 3 hours,
people around the world saw the best competition in a man's sport, the National Wrestling Alliance. And Ric Flair, once again, call it luck, call it the grace of God, throw the scab off the end of my chin, whatever you want to call it, I'm standing here. I never claimed to play this game by the rules. I play it Ric Flair's way, and that's throwing at all costs. And here I am, and I'll tell you, and the Crocketts, and Ted Turner, and anybody else that doesn't like it, to get this, you gotta beat this. Bottom line.
So ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for the Bunkhouse Stampede.
This message goes especially to you and those millions of adoring fans that look at you as being their idol figure, their role model, whatever they live and breathe every day. That's what you represent, Luger. But the bottom line is, right now, you will never wrestle Ric Flair again for the World's Heavyweight Wrestling Championship. It's going to cost James Dillon a lot of money, but when you're the world champion, money's no problem. Lawyers, Ted Turner, Crockett, it makes no difference. Luger, you had your last shot tonight. That was it, pal. How do you like that, huh? You like being told by me, you're done. That's it. Last shot. You, my friend, are history in the eyes of the champ. Woo! You're history, Luger! Woo!
There you heard it from the world's heavyweight champion. Now let's go back to Tony Schiavone.
All right, Magnum, thank you very much.
All right, there you go. That was it. That's the Great American Bash 1988, The Price for Freedom. The Price for Freedom was definitely paid by Dusty Rhodes, by Lex Luger, by Sting, by Kevin Sullivan and Precious. The Price for Freedom was Jimmy Cornette paid the price tonight. So this was a very good card and near and dear to me. Like I said, I can remember just watching this and being like dumbfounded by Ronnie Garvin. No one saw that coming. And, of course, Lex Luger not winning the World Heavyweight Championship from the Nature Boy Ric Flair. So that's pretty much where I was at the time. Just being a buzz, like, that was the summer, man. It set the summer off. 1988 was a great year for wrestling. It was a great year for baseball. If you're a Mets fan, if you're a Dodger fan, if you're an Oakland A's fan, So it was just a good year to be alive, actually, when you look back at it. And the home life wasn't too great, but I made the best of it, and I had such a great time watching this with friends and family, and just following, you know, watching the weekly shows and the storytelling and the promos. Just it was so well done, and you know, WWF was doing their thing, and they were just hot off WrestleMania 4. It was Macho Man was champion. Such a good time, man. It was a great time to be alive. It was almost SummerSlam time at that point, which we'll be doing, I think, next month. I was at SummerSlam 88. I know we did it on the throwbacks, but we're probably going to revisit it again because I have the technology now. Just a good time to be alive if you're a wrestling fan. And if you can go back and relive all this stuff as an adult, which I hope you guys all do, please, by all means, give me some feedback on social media. We are, let's get out of here. Let's play some music and we'll plug all the shit and get out of here. How about that? All right. So, obviously hit us up on Twitter at TBuckleTBacks, at Choppy2984. We're on Instagram at TurnbuckleTHrowbacks. You want to snail mail us, TurnbuckleTHrowbacks1@gmail.com. You want to hit us up on the Facebook, we're on Facebook, TurnbuckleTHrowbacks. We are on Instagram. We're on Twitter, like I said. We're on. Just go to iTunes, leave a review. Go to Stitcher, leave a review. We have T-shirts too, man. Go buy a T-shirt, ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleTHrowbacks. If you're in Chicago that weekend for All In, we're going to Pro Wrestling Tees. We're going to the shop. Buy a Turnbuckle Throwback shirt while you're out there. Tell me you want one. Tell me you want the. We have four different kinds. We have the New Japan parody shirt. We have the the NES parody shirt. We have the original logo, and we have the World of Sport logo inspired. So get all that, man. Don't forget to support your boys. And we support you. We love all you guys. Thank you for giving us all the feedback and tuning in. Thanks for all the love. I really appreciate it. I apologize for last night again. I apologize to my partner Choppy, everybody listening live, all the network affiliates that we're with. It's just a shit show. We're going to fix it. Hopefully it's fixed already. I fixed it this morning. If not, I'm going to take a baseball bat to this shit and we won't have the podcast anymore. No, joking aside. Bidding you guys adieu. Remember, take care of yourselves, each other, avoid the clapping of the rest, and say all the nasty words. Invest in your family. Invest in yourself. Invest in what you do. Invest in the best of your life. And just be the absolute very best human you can be. We will be back next week with the great 6th anniversary show for... It's going to be Great American Bash 1990. We're going to have some guests hopefully calling in. It's going to be a great time. Don't forget. And have a great rest of your week. Peace out.